All right, so we're in Windows World with Dare. And you haven't been on Channel 9 since the Scoble days.
That's right.
And we were outside.
2005, 2006, Building 35.
Yes, man.
Talking about XML.
So what have you been up to? I mean, clearly a lot since then, but now you're on in Windows in the SkyDrive team. Can you tell us about what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I am responsible for what we call the Live SDK. The Live SDK is a set of technologies that enables developers to integrate SkyDrive, Hotmail, Messenger, and LiveID into their applications.
Mm-hmm.
The focus really is on making sure our users can get access to their data on any platform, any device, using any app.
Excellent. Now, it's called SkyDrive, but you can't mount this drive. Like, you can't set SkyDrive to be a virtual hard disk. Can you?
I don't know about virtual hard disk, but you can there are now SkyDrive clients on on both the Mac and the PC, which we announced about a week or two ago, which you can install and create, and now you can have a SkyDrive drive right on your PC.
Okay.
So, like, I can, it's just a regular drive, you can get to it in DOS, I can open it in Word, or Photoshop, and edit my files, and they sync to the cloud, and they're accessible from any of my devices.
Beautiful. So, misinformation from Charles. That's great to hear, because it would be nice if it just did show up, you know, G drive, C drive, S drive being SkyDrive. That's what I sort of meant,
yes.
Mounting it in that way.
Yes.
So one of the things I'd like to talk about, since this is Channel 9 and stuff, I mean, you know, people who will know you from RSS Bandit, because that was one of the first RSS clients that came out back in the day. What's going on with that? Like, have you been updating that, or have you forgotten about it?
I stopped working on that for a while, primarily because as we kind of, you know, it's actually kind of interesting dovetail with SkyDrive, is that as people got more and more devices, like I have, you know, like I have two phones, I have an iPhone and a Windows phone, because I have to, like, test our apps and our platforms on both devices.
Mm.
It just be like having a client that had just one experience and data locked on one device and one platform just stopped being useful. Mm. Like, I have a desktop PC, I have a laptop, I have two phones. Mm. I want an experience that at the end of the day allows me to, like, be able to access my data, my sync state, and my read state, wherever I am. So for a while, I kind of worked on integrating, like, syncing to Google Reader. But I ended up giving, kind of, like, backing off on that, because they never actually officially came out and said they supported what apps were doing with their API.
Mm.
So they had, like, they didn't really have an API. They had, like, the interface that the website uses to talk to the back end. Like, so, like, you could kind of sniff the AJAX request. And I built, and a couple of guys have built apps that way, but it never was kind of like full support.
Mm.
So short of, like, building my own kind of RSS cloud and my free time on top of Azure, and then, you know, charging for it or turning it into a business, I kind of just kind of gave that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough, man. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of SkyDrive, I mean, one of the things I'd like to know is, how does it work? Like, I mean, so this is a... it's a service, you have a database in the cloud, a file system, I'm assuming, et cetera. Can you take us through, like, how does SkyDrive actually work?
I think the way for people to really to think about SkyDrive is, like, you really should think about it that way. It's your file system in the cloud,
okay.
Which means you have what is logically a drive with a set of folders, hierarchy of folders and files. You can put whatever files you want in there, zip files, photos, documents, folders, following the same sort of, like, naming conventions and naming restrictions that Windows has. It has some additional features around things like ACLing and permissioning. So you can do things like have a private folder and then select one file and say, hey, I'd like to share this file with other people, so I'm going to send a link to this file to people, and they can come to my SkyDrive, only see that one file, even though there are, like, 50 files in there, they only can access that one file. And I've actually done that with, like, presentations I've given on SkyDrive, where I upload this presentation to SkyDrive, I got a link, I shot it off, a couple hundred people read it, but, like, they couldn't access anything else in my SkyDrive, just those presentations. And since, like, the SkyDrive experience is tied to Office web apps, there's actually a rich experience for working with Office documents like Word, Excel, PowerPoint. You can send a link to a PowerPoint deck and people can just browse it on the web.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, obviously, you're going to have a client.
Yes.
And can you talk a little bit about the client experience across very different operating systems and devices, right? You had mentioned.
Yes.
So how does, take us through that.
So SkyDrive has a number of official client experiences today. There's the Mac and PC clients, which I have the PC clients installed back here,
mm-hmm.
As well as various mobile clients. So on Mac and PC, SkyDrive is just a drive. So I would, I can actually...
Sure, go for it.
So I can pick a... So here's my PC, and I don't know if you can see this. And like,
here, I'm going to zoom in there. Okay.
And that's my SkyDrive. It's just a drive. It's synced down my PC. Here are a bunch of my son's baby pictures. And if I could go online and see, have that same experience online, and if I delete one of these pictures, it's deleted on the web.
Mm.
Similarly, if I add a picture now, it's going to be added on the web and available from all my mobile devices. So this drive-like experience
mm-hmm.
is the same one you get on PC and on a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Windows Phone, we have SkyDrive apps that don't actually sync to your, because actually syncing out 25 gigs to your phone isn't a reasonable experience. but instead, you can directly browse your SkyDrive, and I can browse my local files.
Mm-hmm.
Files have been shared with me, recent files,
cool.
And same on the iPhone. And those are client experiences.
So now, I mean, in terms of the syncing, you mentioned, yeah, obviously syncing 25 gigs to a little handheld device isn't a great experience, especially, let's say, over a cellular network.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
I only have 2 gigs.
Fair enough.
that's all AT&T gives me.
So, if I am to... I mean, one of the cool things about sync, though, obviously, in this notion of a single data source in the cloud, is if I add a file from a trip...
Mm-hmm.
It's automatically going to show up on my handheld device next time I run the SkyDrive app.
Because
mm-hmm. But then again, you said syncing won't really work like that.
So syncing, because there's two experiences.
Mm-hmm.
There's a notion of a browse experience or browse interaction, and then there's actual syncing.
Mm-hmm.
So syncing, where you're actually synchronizing, when I say syncing, like you actually put a file in a particular location, and in the background, it's slowly pushed up to the cloud, that happens on the desktop. So that happens in Windows desktop and on the Mac.
Mm.
For mobile experiences primarily, and the web, it's about browse.
Mm.
In that I can launch an app, and that app can browse my SkyDrive, and we actually give developers APIs
mm-hmm.
so they can kind of build the same experiences. So for example, we don't have an official Android client, but a number of developers have built SkyDrive experiences that are very similar to our Windows Phone and iOS experiences based on the same sort of browse principles on top of our APIs.
Sure. Which brings up an interesting point. I mean, you do have a REST API.
Yes.
You support various number of languages.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you can target your REST APIs, you can do it in any platform.
That's correct.
So that's important to note. So there is an Android client, there's a Windows client, but we actually produce the Apple or the iOS and Windows clients. Yes?
Yes.
We make those. So we have an iOS client and an OS X client.
Exactly. So iPad, the most recent version, I don't like their
Lion,
their cat name,
Scarecrow, yeah, it's
their cat name, the most recent
Mountain Lion,
yes, Mountain
Snow
Lion.
Leopard, yeah,
I think Snow Leopard's the most recent one.
Okay.
I think so. The most recent cat named operating system from Apple is supported,
okay,
as well as iOS. So there's an iPad and iPhone version of the official clients as well.
Cool. So now, one of the questions I would have, and let's move towards like modern times with Windows 8 and the Metro experience.
Yes.
Clearly, you guys have a Metro app.
Yes, so there's also a great SkyDrive Metro app,
mm-hmm.
wonderful app.
It's a good app, absolutely.
Yeah.
Available today for free from the marketplace.
That's right.
Or the store.
The Windows
forgive
store.
Me, forgive
the
me.
Windows store. We'll cattle prod you later.
Yes, I'm sorry. So I want to talk a little bit about the Windows 8 experience. Uh-huh. And so one of the cool things about Windows 8, you can actually log into a session using your Windows ID.
Yes.
Which automatically, once I create one of these accounts, I get a 25 gigabyte allocation in SkyDrive, yes? You, can you talk to me about how this all works?
So, well, it's not 25 gigs, but every person with a Microsoft account mm-hmm. has the option of having a SkyDrive.
Sure.
If you're a brand new SkyDrive user today, mm-hmm. you get 7 gigs for free.
Okay.
Which you can upgrade for, I think, $10 a year to 20 gigs.
Nice.
And $10 a year is a pretty fantastic price. Mm-hmm. And in addition, the 25 gigs, if you've used SkyDrive prior to April, I believe it was April 21st, you're grandfathered in, and you get 25 gigs for free.
Nice.
Yeah, so some of us have 25 gigs, but if you're showing up today, you get 7 gigs. Mm. And so you can assume that any user who's using a Windows 8 PC and acquiring apps from the marketplace, that means they have a Microsoft account, also has at least 7 gigs of free cloud storage from Microsoft.
Cool. So one of the questions I want to ask in terms of, you know, from client development perspective, since this really is just a drive as far as my code is concerned, mm-hmm. I can, from a Windows app, say I've written a Windows app, Windows 8 app, it's a Metro app, mm-hmm. I can just treat the SkyDrive as though, say I want to look for a bunch of files on the user's behalf, mm-hmm. user's connected to the network. I go through, blast through their drive where I'm, you know, where I'm allowed. The user's mm-hmm. obviously giving me permission to do this. And then I go and blast through SkyDrive as well. Programmatically, to me, it's just the same thing. It's a set of folders. There's files. I do my usual routines. Those APIs will work in that world, yes?
So I would say, conceptually, yes. Like your code would actually be different, obviously, right? Because I was going to use like some jargon. since I already said I'm going to go ahead. Yeah. So like, you know, we don't have APIs that encourage this notion of network transparency. Mm. And when I talk about network transparency, some APIs have this philosophy of making it seem like data in the cloud is local data. Mm-hmm. So we actually don't do that. Like our APIs are very RESTful because we want developers to actually know and internalize, like, this code is going to the web, because the kind of decisions you make when you know code is going to the web is very different from the kind of decisions you make when the code is local. A good example of this is mm-hmm. is a failed access. Like, if you fail to access a file in a local hard drive, that's probably a catastrophic failure, because like it means the hard drive is damaged. If you fail to access a file in the user's SkyDrive, it could mean they picked up their laptop and they're walking between meetings, mm-hmm. right? Like, it could, like, you can actually retry that error, for example, mm-hmm. right? So like, even just the knowledge that, like, hey, this actually is going to the web, and some of the semantics of retrying, authentication, and so on are just different from I'm hitting a local system, are like, is one of the reasons why our API doesn't try to look like a local API, but like does its best to feel like you're talking to a REST API. So that's top of mind for developers. And we try to create, I think the term is a pit of success, where if you just start using the API, you kind of fall into using it the right way. Mm.
The API, it mm-hmm. seems to be pretty simple, pretty easy to use. Can you talk a little bit about it for a little while?
Yeah, sure. So we have this. If you go to dev.live.com, you can click around and find a Live SDK. When you think about the Live SDK that we provide, it's conceptually two things. The first is a set of industry standard protocols. When I say industry standard protocols, I mean, you know, HTTP, OAuth for authentication, JSON as the payloads, and the HTTP usage is RESTful, which means, you know, like, our URLs are nouns. Mm-hmm. You can use the full plethora of standard HTTP verbs, put for to update, post to create, delete to delete, HTTP get, and so on. And we have a RESTful object model, which means that, like, one which we did to enable kind of like cross-platform development philosophically, because we've kind of noticed in our experience, and I believe in the experience of lots of developers, that no one actually builds one app for one platform anymore. Like, at the very least, you're building a website and an app. More than likely, you're building a website and lots of apps on lots of platforms. Mm. You're going to build You're going to have a website. You're going to have a Windows Phone app. You're going to have an iOS app. You're going to have a Windows 8 app. You're going to have a lot of these apps. And for all of those experiences, we want developers to actually be able to use SkyDrive. And when we do that, we don't want to end up. We didn't want to end up in a world where we said, here's five or six different APIs or six different native to the operating system way of, like, six different ways you have to think about how you interact with SkyDrive, especially if we start trying to map SkyDrive semantics to different file systems, because, you know, like, on the phones, there isn't really, like, on iOS, there's no file system, right? Like, so, like, how would we map that if we were going to map that against the Windows file system would be very different. So we start off by saying, well, we'll just have this REST API that's one model. And once you understand this one kind of straightforward hierarchical REST model that returns JSON, then you're 80% of the way to knowing how to use our API.
Cool.
And then after you do that, you pick up the live SDK for your platform, Windows 8, Windows Phone, iOS, Android, what have you. Mm. And the bulk of how to interact with SkyDrive, you already know, because it's always the same. It's always some hierarchical REST path, /SkyDrive/ files, /photos, /folder ID or file ID. Mm. The JSON return is always the same. And then it's just really, how do you set up the API in C#, mm-hmm. in JavaScript, what have you.
Sure. Well, I mean, if you're giving me REST and JSON, then I don't care. I could use any language to that's the key.
That's the best part.
Yeah, you don't need to provide a specific API for a specific language. Yes. Though, you know, unfortunately, in some languages, they don't have the luxury of kind of simplified APIs for doing things like making, you know, client-server requests over HTTP.
That's correct.
Can be kind of a nightmare in some worlds.
That is correct.
Which is unfortunate.
That's correct. And, I mean, for the most part, our API handles things like the SDKs handle, one, really giving simplifying authentication, because even though we use OAuth 2.0, which is a lot simpler than OAuth 1.0, and OAuth 2.0 is used by a number of people in the industry today, Facebook, Google, and us, among others. There's still a number of nuances around kind of like the getting access tokens, refresh tokens, and so on. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we do, like if you take our SDK, is like a bunch of that is abstracted away from you, so you don't have to kind of worry about that. Mm-hmm. You also don't have to kind of worry about how do you authenticate the user, because one of the things that we don't encourage, and in fact we don't allow, is applications collecting the user's credentials, mm-hmm. their username and password, because sure. that's kind of an anti-pattern. Mm. Because that username and password is the username and password that they'll use to log into their Windows APC, log into the Windows Store, get into their SkyDrive. So that's pretty important, and we don't want apps collecting that. And I mean, we love apps, but we mm-hmm. don't like. Like, since given that we kind of take user security and authentication seriously,
sure.
we don't want to put that burden on applications. So we kind of have standard experiences that we use for collecting user credentials. Mm-hmm. And our SDKs make it easier for apps to kind of pick those up. Although since it's OAuth and just REST APIs, it's straightforward for an application to build those experiences themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, one thing that could be interesting would be to be able to use an application where, as a user, even if I don't have a live ID, that the application itself could authenticate against the service and be like, and partition user accounts on the behalf of users. So really what I'm saying is, let's say I wrote an application. Now, don't get me wrong, why wouldn't you create an account? But let's step back for a second, mm-hmm. say there's an application that does, you know, manages pictures for people or manages something for people. And it works across platforms, mm-hmm. and you don't need to have an individual user log into a live account, but rather just log into this application, which then authenticates itself against the service and does partitioning in terms of folder structure for its users. I mean, you could argue that that's kind of crazy, but is that possible for an app to authenticate itself against your service?
So, well, I mean, that's not crazy at all, but like, that's really not the purpose of SkyDrive. Mm. So I would say an application that wants to do that could totally do that using Azure and SQL Azure.
Okay.
Because when SkyDrive is really a personal cloud storage solution. Mm. So it's for me as an individual user, I have my content in the cloud. I want to be able to log into my Windows 8 PC, log into my Windows 7 PC, mm. go to my Mac, and have all of my content with me. Mm-hmm. It's not really aimed at for applications who want like a cheaper solution than going to GoDaddy or Amazon Web Services or Azure. Those are all great services, and like we're really not building that sort of service, especially since, I mean, there's already a great service from Microsoft called Azure that addresses those scenarios.
Sure.
This is really, you have a user, they have some storage in the cloud, they want to access that content, they want to be able to put that content there and then access it from any of their devices. And if you're an app that has content that user is creating, they can create photos, they can manage photos in your application, documents, WAV files, you want to stream the music that they already have, it's kind of a really great experience for that. If you're like building a music service from scratch, like a Pandora or Spotify, you know, we're not really for that. You should, you know, talk to the Azure folks, who are a great set of folks.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Now, the other question I have is, you know, one of the things we like to do, and you mentioned, I like the notion that it's a personal data service, right? It's a personal database in the sky, or whatever, file system in the sky, for personal consumer usage.
Yeah.
Now, if you have parents who want to see your son or your children,
yeah.
and they're very kind of, they want to see, every time you take a picture, send it up to SkyDrive, your mom or dad gets a notification, and there's the picture for them to see.
Yeah.
So can you plug in, is there a push model so that I could specify, hey, anytime this specific folder gets updated with pictures of my son, in your case or anyone else's case, not mine, then you would have a push notification to everyone who wants to know when the latest picture came out, they immediately start downloading it. Does it work like that? Can it work like that?
So we don't provide features like that today. Applications can build experiences like that.
Okay.
There's a IFT that's kind of popular among developers now.
Uh-huh.
I think it's called If This Then That.
Okay.
Like it's just sort of like people build sort of recipes like that, like today for Dropbox and they can for SkyDrive, which are basically you can kind of string together a bunch of web services, kind of like Yahoo Pipes, but you know like the next iterating on a set, those sorts of ideas. So you could build with something like that. You could point to your SkyDrive and say, here's a place in my SkyDrive. When you know like poke at it periodically. When you see something in my SkyDrive, send an email to these people. You could totally do that, but we don't actually have a native feature of SkyDrive called, you know, like, that's why we have API, so app developers can innovate on top of our platform.
Totally. I could see you writing a service on Windows and just have us sitting there listening. I mean, it's totally, developers can, for their, you know, I get it. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the difference between SkyDrive and Dropbox? Like, how would I make a decision between choosing either one? Preference?
Well, thankfully, that's actually super easy for you to figure out now, because a lot of news sites and Gadget, The Verge, CNET kind of did a bunch of comparisons, and you can just kind of go out and compare and kind of take a look at the difference. I think that, SkyDrive gives you, if you're a Windows user, it's a great experience on Windows, great experience in Windows 8. It's also a great experience on the Mac, on the iPhone, and iPad.
Mm.
In addition, like our default storage for users, our free storage is industry leading. I think Dropbox gives you 2.
Mm.
I think our Google Drive gives you 5. SkyDrive gives you 7.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Price is great. $10 per year to go up to 20.
Mm-hmm.
The experiences are great. As I mentioned before, if you go to skydrive.com, you actually get Office integration. So I get PowerPoint on the web for free as a consumer. I get Word on the web for free. I get Excel on the web for free. It's just a great product. It's a great collaboration product and a great personal cloud store solution as well.
Excellent. I mean, I had to ask that question because,
I'm sure.
A lot of people want to know.
I get that question all the time. It's a good question.
I'm sure. So, I mean, without talking about the future, because we don't do that.
I like the future of flying cars. They're gonna
on.
Hoverboards are 3 years.
I hope so, man.
2015. That's
right on.
Back to the Future was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So it's 2015. I keep waiting.
So let me ask you this. I mean, why 7 gigabytes and not 70? What I mean by that is, it seems that hard drive capacity and storage capacity is as cheap as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go into thinking about, and it's easier said, you guys have, you're going to have in the order of hundreds of millions of users. So
that adds up really quickly. But I'm just curious, like in terms of as modern hardware continues to evolve, you know, there could be that I'm going to need significantly more room. For example, the video that we're recording right now is going to be around, I don't know, 16, 17 gigabytes, this short conversation, which isn't too short because it's Channel 9. But you know what I'm saying? So talk to me a little bit about how you make those decisions to say 7 gigabytes is going to be enough for free.
Well, I mean, like, so I know that a bunch of that in the recent SkyDrive, in the blog post they made, kind of took a look at user behavior. So I can't remember the chart off the top of my head, but I think it was some crazy small percentage, like maybe 0.04% of users were actually anywhere close to using like 25 gigs of cloud storage.
Okay.
So there's, first of all, just kind of just looking at how people are using the product today. And to kind of like, you know, there's that, there's, you know, just understanding the costs of running a service. You know, like the physical hard drives, you know, typically everything when you like, are usually not the most expensive part of the service. There's, you know, they're one component. There's, you know, like running a data center. So there's power, there's cooling, there's the actual servers, there's the ops folks, there's people like me, you know, with my own office, you know, like eating up all the costs. So so it's not, so you know, like you kind of balance the cost of the business as well, not just like, you know, I could go to Fry's and pick up a hard drive for X, so Microsoft should be able to give me Y.
Understood.
So that kind of is a factor as well, just kind of looking at how users are using data today. And the service has evolved over time. Like when I when I joined Windows Live, like the service was kind of a bit was different then and the usage patterns were different. And now the service has evolved and you can just expect that as we see what users are doing, the service will evolve, the products will evolve, and we'll continue just trying to make users happy.
Excellent. Now, has anybody built any integration with Facebook? Again, that's an app developer could do that pretty readily. Yes. I update my thing, it updates my, you know, blah, blah, blah.
So there's some sharing in the SkyDrive experience today. So I won't mess with that. But like, if I go to SkyDrive, if I go to SkyDrive.com, I can pick a file, right click, and then share it to like social networks like Facebook, share it to Twitter. In fact, on Windows Phone, when you take a picture and you hit use the share the post message to share to Twitter, it actually puts the photos on SkyDrive.
Nice.
So if you actually tweet a photo direct from the people the page, I actually don't know like the MeTile. When I click the MeTile, I don't know like if it has a name other than the MeTile. If you click the MeTile and select like tweet when you upload a photo, it actually puts a photo on SkyDrive.
To back it up, or
I mean, that's where it because Twitter. I don't think Twitter gives you an API to store photos. So you have to put the photos somewhere. So the Windows Phone puts them in SkyDrive for you.
Excellent. And so the last question I have is, in some sense, kind of go back a little bit, and you know, how do you design a SkyDrive? That would be a really good interview question for some candidates. How do you design a storage service in the cloud that's general purpose enough for consumers to use, but also provides enough capabilities for developers to take advantage of to make consumers happy, to build innovative experiences on top of that? How do you go about designing that? So how is it reliable, stable, fast, backing up all these files? I mean, these don't live on one server. You guys have to back this stuff up and manage that whole process and stuff, right? So it's a pretty complicated thing, is it not?
Yeah, I think the, you know, of course, like I'm not gonna kind of bore you with like architecture diagrams and details, but I think the most important thing is understanding the problem that you're trying to solve. Because one of the things that's really easy to do when you're building a technical product is to think about the product at the feature level. And I would think that when we I tend to think when we had like we have you know we've had SkyDrive and Mesh as two different products. And, you know, you could explain away the fact that we had these two different products if you talked about them from a feature level. Where if you said, Mesh is this desktop sync client, and SkyDrive is this website where I go to put my files in the cloud, and they're different. But if you think about a problem that you're trying to solve is actually making sure that people have their files wherever they are, regardless of device or platform, that's kind of a very different way to think about it. And when you start thinking about it that way, you start thinking, well, oh wow, I have to, if I talking about having my files anywhere, wherever I am, I start thinking about mobile, because I always have my mobile device with me. So I start thinking about, oh, I need to have a native app. Maybe I need to have a great web experience. And then I have to think about that native app having great integration into the OS. And then I start really, I start thinking, well, I don't really want to think about a phone as a sync endpoint, because besides the fact that many mobile devices won't let you run a sync client in the background, chewing up all of the user's battery and 3G, syncing down files, it's not an optimal user experience either. Mm-hmm. So you kind of stop pigeonholing yourself with specific features and start thinking about, if the goal is, of the scenario is, I get anywhere access to my files, what's the best way to do that? And then you start building features like Fetch. So Fetch is a feature that Skydive team just announced, which enables you to, if I have Skydive installed on my work PC or my home PC, if I have Skydive on my home PC, I can go to skydrive.com, actually select my home PC, and browse and get files that are sitting on my home PC.
Interesting.
Because when you start thinking about it that way, like, the problem, you're really trying to solve the problem of, I want my files everywhere, and you're not only trying to solve the sync problem. And when you kind of liberate yourself, kind of liberate your thinking, you start looking at, like, oh, if I want to get access to my file on my home, what's the easiest way to do that? Is it to install some sync client on my work PC and sync all my data down? Or is it just giving me an easy way to go, oh, I forgot a dock at home, my PowerPoint deck I was working on last night. Can I just go to my home PC, grab it, and copy it over?
Mm-hmm. Excellent, man.
Yeah.
Right on, Dare. Well, I mean, it's been about 7-8 years.
Yeah.
Since we last talked.
2006, yes.
Yeah, man. And it seems like you're now doing quite well with... how long have you been on the Windows Live team, anyway?
So I've been in Windows Live about, I want to say 2006... Oh, no, that's not true. 8 years.
Okay. 2004.
I've been at Microsoft just over 10 years.
I see.
Yeah. So close to 7.5-8 years.
Okay. Excellent, man. And I think SkyDrive is excellent. I love the APIs. The REST stuff makes it even native developers, gives them an opportunity to interact with the stuff. Mm-hmm. So great to talk to you, meet you. Great work on SkyDrive, man.
Thank you.
And your blog also, Carnage for Life.
Yes? Oh, the blog.
The blog.
Blog.
I had to bring that up because, I mean, obviously... You state what's on your mind, and you have it's a good blog, man. I mean, I read it. I mean, I think a lot of people do, actually. Tell us a little bit about it, since I brought it up.
Oh, I mean, I've had this blog. It's like, I guess Carnage for Life was like some username I picked back when I was in Slashdot. So, like, back in my college days, like, you know, it's just like your goofy email address. Like, you pick a username, and it sticks with you till you're... grown man with a 3-year-old and a wife.
Yeah.
So it's my blog. I used to write in it pretty frequently, but as I've gotten busier at work, it's been less so. I try to write about things I find interesting. So I've tried to write about technology I'm learning. Like I recently started writing some mobile apps on Windows Phone. It was a very interesting experience. So I wrote that up.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I've written up things I've learned about cloud services, both Microsoft's and Facebook's and Google's and Twitter's. I'm very interested in cloud services, also very interested in social experiences. So very interested in, I used to work on the social experiences in Windows Live at one point in time. So I was very interested in practically every little change Facebook made to their experience. There was a time I could tell you literally every change to the Facebook newsfeed and when it occurred. Not so much anymore now. I used to blog like a lot. I probably have now kind of toned it down to like once or twice a month, primarily because, well, I'm busier at work. Mm-hmm. I have a little one now, and it's pretty hard to go home and he wants to play. And I go, no, I just need to write this one post.
Yeah.
And I think, and also, I guess Twitter has taken its toll because once you shoot off like your 140 character opinion, like you don't feel as the need to spend to write another 2,000 words on it.
Fair enough, man. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for spending some time with us.
Seeing you.
And we'll come back and visit you again. I mean, who knows? Maybe I can't imagine what.
Hopefully,
you'll be
doing it won't be another 7 to 8 years.
Yeah, it'll be less than that.
All right.
Right on, man.
Hey, take care, man.
Take care. All right.